This is a homemade broadcast radio production.
I'm so listen. I got my pants below my waist and I never dance when I'm in this place, cause you and your man is planning to hate.
I'm so hood.
And I got these goals up in my mouth. If you get closer to my house, then you know what I'm talking about. I'm out the
hood.
And if you feel me, put your hands up.
Hood.
My hood, can you stand
so
up?
Hood.
If you're not from here, you can walk it out. And you're not hood if you don't know what I'm talking about.
Everybody want a motherfucker know why. I dress so fly, sit so high. I do it for the hood. I do it cause I could.
What's up, Mama Holics? How's everybody doing today? It's me, your favorite host, your only host of my mom's favorite podcast, James Bailey, bringing you take two, the second attempt of my mom's favorite podcast this week, because apparently I have forgotten how to use all this fancy-full equipment that we have here at Young William's house. And I messed up my intro, lost part of it. Oh, it's been going on the last couple weeks. So you guys are getting a shorter version. You're already getting a shorter version this week anyway, because I picked up a last-second gig and couldn't move things around. So we're just going to shorten up the podcast a bit this week. So you guys are lucky. You guys are only going to have to deal with me for like an hour instead of an hour and a half, hour 45. Got an hour 45 of my voice, and I'd be ready to spike myself in the fucking head with a nail gun. Ugh. Jesus, I don't know how you guys do it. I thank you very much, anybody that actually listens to each and every episode. Hopefully, they're going to have some new listeners, because tomorrow, Friday, I will be on the radio with my friend Rachel Rowan, who has been on the podcast before. So this will come out Wednesday. That will have happened last Friday. And then when I'm recording this Thursday, I'm actually going to the improv later, because one of my friends, liberal as he may be, and I love him, he's decided that he's legit moving to Canada. So he goes, hey, I know you weren't on this show, but will you come do the show with me so I can work with you, make sure I, you know, work with you before I leave the country. Now look, I'm not any happier than anybody else that Trump won. I'm really not. Anybody that's listened to the podcast repeatedly, I've been very critical, very brutal on Hillary, but it's not like I took it easy on Donald. I didn't like either one of them. They're both horrible, horrible fucking people, in my opinion. One of them had to win, and depending on your point of view, it was either the right person or the wrong person won. I still don't have an opinion on it, but... Well, I have opinions on it, but I'm going to save them. And I'm going to save them until my guest gets here. It's going to be Becca Facecutter Childs. She was on a couple months ago, about a month and a half, 2 months ago. And we got tense, I want to say. We definitely had a passionate discussion. Got a little for a second about Hillary and about Trump and about the whole thing. And again, I was not going for Trump. Please do not turn off the show and never listen to me again. Please continue to listen to me. I was going for the Johnson. If nothing else, just the slogan from "Feel the Burn" to "Feel the Johnson." Come on, man. Because I was a Bernie supporter. We'll get into that. I don't want to get too deep into the politics. Becca is on her way here. Unfortunately, she got caught up in the same mess I did, which was a pretty bad traffic accident on the way here to the HMB studios. I think I was a little bit ahead of her. I think she still might have been running a bit behind me, and then the accident, because there was like a couple of them. One of them I just got past. I missed it, and then I think it happened behind me. I was listening to the radio. But the other one was ahead of me and slowed me down. So hopefully she'll be here soon, but I had to get started. Like I said, my set. She's really fun. If you guys do listen to the one, though, it wasn't all just hardships and tenseness and gurs. We hit one of my proudest moments here on the podcast, because to relieve the tension, I wanted to go to the bowl hits, the hits from the bowl. And so we went there, and she pulls out Dream Apocalypse, and immediately her apocalypse starts off with lesbian jungle bitches. And to have Becca sit here and yell lesbian jungle bitches at me from across the table was fantastic. So it's one of my favorite podcast moments in the... Oh, God, I've been doing this like a year. Fucking year already. It doesn't seem like it does at Mamaholics, but it has. It has been a whole year. And bear with me here, because this thing messed up before, and I'll make sure it's not messing up again. It is not. Okay, we're still recording. Good. It's been a whole year already. Some of my old ones are online. And pretty soon, guys, I'm working on getting some of my own equipment so I can start doing this. I'll start doing it from my mom's podcast studios, a.k.a. my living room, so I can walk my doggy more and not be away from my doggy so much. I have a new puppy. He's not a puppy. He's 2 years old. And, about a year ago when I was still living with my old roommate, that's where I know this dog from. He had the dog I was with. I lived with my old roommate for about a year. A little over a year of the dog's life. So he got a little sympathy with one of the kids, one of my old roommate's girlfriend's kids that plays with him. Maybe too rough. So I'm not saying it was the kid's fault, not saying it's the dog's fault, but we had to get the dog immediately out of the house just to be safe. He's never been aggressive with anybody ever before or since. Like, wonderful dog, starting to listen. I'm a little worried because he's not eating as much as he should. But that's generally what happens when you put a dog in a new house, right? Guys? Yeah? All right. Thanks for the answer. I think I'd actually been weirded out if somebody had answered that. If you guys do have an answer for that, 813-693-2124. That is the HMB Studios call-in line. You can call in and leave a text, or I think you can text in too. You can't call in live. It's not that type of show. Tomorrow, people will probably be calling live. I don't know. We'll see. Maybe I'll see if people want to call in live and ask me questions, and I'll teach them how to ruin their life. Because let's face it, I'm here doing this to six of y'all. Hopefully y'all enjoy this. You have to let me know. Sorry. My THC was causing me cat mouth, so I had to drink some of my Red Bull, which I drink to stay awake from all the THC that I consume. It's a vicious cycle because I drink way too much Red Bull, in case you guys can't tell by how, like, motor mouthed I am right now, as I just continue to ramble on with no real destination. I'm basically just trying to waste time and fill space until Becca gets here, which hopefully will be soon, because I'm running out of shit to ramble. I don't want to talk politics, but that's, like, the big thing right now. Because this is, keep in mind, guys, we're only... because this podcast takes a while to get dropped or whatever. So, we're only a couple weeks after the election. By the time you guys get this, it'll be like 3 weeks. I hope. 3 or 4. Oh, I think she's here. Come on in. Either that or I told a stranger. No, it's Becca Childs. Face cut is in the house. Look at Beyblade. I forgot about that. Yeah, it wasn't good. That's why I forgot about it. It was intentional. Have a seat. Jump on in. You can put your headphones on if you want. You're not forced to. I have some THC here packed up, ready to go. Got you a little water.
Ooh, appreciate it.
Yeah. All right. Water. I told the audience that we had to get started early without you. Nothing against you.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, wait. Hold on. Okay. I'm a horrible host. Do that again.
Hello.
Oh, there we go.
Hello, audience of no one.
No, we got like 5 or 6 people.
Oh, hey. Okay, cool.
Plus, I'm doing a Rachel show tomorrow, so I'm hoping that on her show tomorrow, I don't make too much of an ass out of myself, and maybe some of her listeners will float over.
Oh, yeah. Afternoon Delight, the USF Bulls radio, right?
Yeah.
Was just on there. Shout out, Rachel. What's up?
How was it?
It was a lot of fun.
Sweet.
I got the dump button because I said a wordy dird only one time.
Oh, I'm definitely getting that. Like, I've warned her beforehand.
Tell her to be ready.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was a little slow on mine.
Now, I see, this is the thing, like, because I've done Will's podcast.
Okay.
And, Will's, like, they can't cuss. Mm. Well, I mean, it's not that he can't, but, like, his is doesn't. Like, the block that he gets on St. P Radio and shit, it's supposed to be, like, the family block. So he's supposed to keep it clean so he doesn't get in trouble with the people that he works with over there.
Right.
Every time he's had me on, I think, like, twice in here, and then once we did a live event, I'd be really good for, like, a half hour because I'm focused on it. And I'll almost slip and I'll catch myself and I'll refocus even harder and I'll be doing real good for like 30, 40 minutes. and then I'll do so good that I'll relax, and a fuck will just come out so naturally and so smooth.
Yeah, you get used to talking to, like, other adults.
Yeah.
Yeah, CJ and I did this family-friendly set at an RV resort.
That sounds terrifying.
It was weird. In Kissimmee, Florida, it was not an RV park. It was a resort. There's a difference, apparently. And
isn't a resort more nomadic? Like, there's more people coming in and out, the type of place where you're like, here's $100. I'm hooking up in the back for a week. Cool. We'll call you Mr. Smith.
Yeah, there's probably somebody like that or a few of them. It was mostly families that were in there. I was like, where are you from? Everyone's like the weirdest crowd work. Like, New Hampshire, Rhode Island, New Mexico. You know, just...
That's weird.
Just like a placemat.
There's a lot of families, though?
Yeah.
See, I'm thinking like totally creepier, like a lot of sex offenders.
That's the park.
Those are parks.
Ooh, I watched Pervert Park.
Wait, yeah, why did you get so excited?
I got really excited because it's so relevant. There's a new documentary. I love documentaries. Like, the weirder, the better. There's one on Netflix. It's called Pervert Park.
Pervert Park.
Yeah, and it's about a sex offender trailer park.
Hmm.
I mean, they didn't make it for that. It was
right, there wasn't like circumstantial. What can we do? We have all these trailers, no kids. How can we take advantage of this?
Yeah, no, it's much sadder. not for the children. No, it talks about their stories and stuff about these people who have offended, and just like how they're screwed for the rest of their lives, and they have to live together. They get targeted for a lot of like hate stuff at them, and you learn their stories, but then things are a lot more complicated. Well, it's not always sexual. I mean, it's sexual acts, which can be a very widely ranging thing.
Very broad.
It's very broad, right? So, you know, that's what kind of some of these stories are, or, you know, what happened to them. And just, I guess when you grow up in that atmosphere, you just get really confused about things, and then you start doing bad things to other people. I don't know. Whatever. You have to watch the movie. I don't know shit about this.
I understand what you're saying. I understand what you're saying. And, okay, I maybe at one time could have found some sort of spark of compassion for these people. Not forgiveness because, you know, they're monsters and they, you know, damaging somebody because you were damaged, for, you know, it accomplishes nothing. Which may be a theme that we tie back later into politics, but we'll carry on for now. Oh, I've already warned them.
that was our last podcast.
That we had a very passionate discussion, is how I said it. We were both very, we spoke strongly and grr.
Yeah. How was that Gary Johnson vote treating you?
Meh. How's that Hillary vote treating you, if you want to go there?
It's doing great. It feels real good, I'll tell you.
Probably about as good and useful as my Johnson vote.
Right? Right?
Which could, actually, a Johnson vote could have been for Trump, because you're voting with your Johnson. But anyway, we'll get back to the perverts. I heard this tape years ago, and I wish I could remember. Like, but I'm sure it would be, for somebody industrious, it wouldn't be too hard for them to find it on YouTube. But basically what it was this dude had been sexually, you know, molested when he was a child. And then he was in his, I want to say, early 20s. And maybe it might have even been late teens, like 19 or so. And he realized that his attraction, like who people he was attracted to, was like 10 and 12 year olds, which is around the time that he got molested. Like, he realized what was, like, you know, and instead of acting out on it, he went and found a therapist. He talked to several therapists before he ever acted out on this. And he found one that would actually work with him because, you know, and like talked about his molestation and everything. And at the time of it was a phone interview that he was doing with like a journalist, I want to say, but not journalist. I don't know. It was all fucking odd. But anyway, like, yeah, so he talked about, like, the struggles, and it's like, you know what? This dude proves right here that, I mean, you know what you're feeling, and you hear a lot of them say how wrong it is.
Yes, but you're talking about somebody who sought help and talked to somebody about it and remedied these wrong behaviors or ideas, well, ideas before they became behaviors. Some of these stories are really interesting. One guy who narrates it, and I guess like he has some sort of like managerial function within the park now, he talks about how he had a babysitter molest him and his brother when they were very young, and their parents were super abusive. So she would leverage that against them, and she would say, God, this is so dark. Either keep your mouth shut about this, or I'll tell your parents, and they're going to get super mad, and they're going to beat the crap out of you. So they kept their mouth shut. They're like, well, one way, I guess, feels good, and one way feels terrible. Right. So then, and she would do stuff with, like, their mom's panties, and then so he got this weird fetish with panties, but he was afraid to talk about any of it.
Right.
And so, like, the fear of abuse, the fear of backlash, you know, not being able, not having anybody to talk to. I mean, this is probably, like, the 60s.
Right.
70s or something. I don't know how old that guy was. But that sounds great. And I hope that more people are able to, because when you get something screwed up like that, how else are you supposed to remedy it than talk to somebody? But this guy was terrified. And then he ended up having his story is really complicated, because he didn't immediately go to offending. He had like a really bad tragedy happen to him where he got this girl pregnant early, but he was like, oh no, I'm going to make a family. I love this little child. Right. It's just like a mini me. This is fantastic. All of an 18-wheeler truck, drunk driver takes him out. While he's walking, like the car got a flat or something, he's walking to the gas station, comes back, gone. So here's somebody who doesn't even know how to process his emotions to begin with, because he was so abused in multiple ways as a child. You know, now it's like, oh, so he had this bender with drugs and alcohol, and it led him to act out. And, and it's interesting hearing him talk about some of the things that he did. He's just like, you know, that first time he's like, it was a bad situation, and, you know, you got misconstrued. Second time, he's like, oh, no, I did wrong, you know. So here are people that know that they screwed up, but I guess it's, the point is, of course, it'd be great if they could have gotten help.
Right, but like, the fact that
your story.
The fact that somebody did it before he acted out. Yeah. Once you act out and once you do something, it's obviously going to be that much harder, if not impossible, to ever admit to anything, because, you know, of what happens to fucking child molesters, for, you know, good reason. If a child molester goes to prison, he is generally, and I don't even know if they do this anymore, but they used to actually put him in Gen Pop. And
they basically got the shit kicked out of him, right?
Well, only if they told what they did. And it's not like when you go in the prison yard, they're not like, all right, now introducing Stephen Jones. Stephen Jones is going to be with us for the next 5 to 7 years, depending on behavior. He was jacking car. You know, they don't do that. Yeah, they roll you out in the yard, and basically it's on you to tell you. But what started happening was inmates that worked in, because, you know, once you're in prison, they give you I don't want to say a fair amount of freedom, but if you can prove that you're not a dipshit, they're a little more lax on you. It's not like you see in the movies where it's just like 24/7 rape and breaking rocks with a hammer. It's only like 23 and a half hours of rape a day. You know, they got to take a breather sometime. But no, like, so you'll work in offices, you'll pull people's records, you'll get the truth, and then those people get fucked up. A lot of times now, they just go straight into separate wings. Holding areas, everything like that. They have protective custody units where it's just five cells full of pedophiles, because they're the only ones that won't beat each other up.
Right. Well, the thing about sex offenders, that's different than murderers when they get released back into the community, is that they have trackers on them.
Yeah.
I would like to know who's murdered somebody as well. You know what I mean? Like, we don't have trackers on people who have straight up murder people or manslaughter. You know, maybe they did some horrible thing, but there's no tracker on them. But, and it's, I'm just saying, I'm not condoning in any way, you know, sexual, you know, predatory, anything, you know, assault, all that kind of just nonsense is awful, obviously. But it is interesting how we track that and how there's no track to reform for these people. And that's what I think the main message of the documentary is that once done, no matter how old you were, no matter what the circumstances are, you are this red dot on a map forever. You have to introduce yourselves. And that's why this community, they all have their own stories. They're all working through it. There's support groups and stuff for these people. It's interesting, you know, you talk about, like, you know, violence against them. There was somebody who, you know, the community knows that this is the pervert park, basically.
Right.
And there's a lot of traffic around the park. And there's this father who pulled up to this manager guy who does a lot of the narrating, and he pulls a gun on him, and he's like, how dare you? You've been looking at my daughters. You've been looking at them. They walk to school down this path. And his reaction is like, what? Who? A lot of people walk down this park, walk past this park, going to wherever. I have no idea. I've never even noticed your daughters. And so the guy was, you know, super angry, and then he starts to, like, disarm, and he's like, oh, okay. And then they start talking, you know, and then the gun gets lowered, you know, I suppose.
Right.
And then they ended up becoming friends. Like, he's like, yeah, he came over. We had dinner together one night. because it's just this, it's this misconception, but it's something that gets put onto them, ascribed onto them, that no matter who they are, no matter what their circumstances, it's different than murder. Like, I hate murder. I don't know.
I don't know. Again, I understand, and I'm not encouraging. Well, maybe I'm encouraging murder. Let's see how the next couple of months go. let's see how the Trumpocalypse.
Trumpocalypse, yeah.
Trumpocalypse 2016. And this Trumplection. That's another one I'm starting to. Trumplection.
Trumplection?
Yeah, because that's what this was. It was just one of the things. All right, one more thing about pedophiles, and then we'll move on to something brighter like the Trumpocalypse.
Oh, yeah.
Yay. Huh. So uplifting this week. And to think, I made sure this is, by the way, the weed is Gin Blossom mixed with SDP. So it's a lot of sativas, and I think like one indica strand. It's like a lot of mixing going on there.
Wonderful. I love tea.
What?
I don't know. I'm just...
Like I said, I understand what you're saying. They all have stories. There's reasons that they did that, but because of what it does, because of what it did to them, it scarred them for life and it changed who they are for life. So then they've now done that to somebody else, and that's not forgivable for me. Do what that kid did before you do something, because they know. It's not like they're just sitting there babysitting a fucking cousin. The next thing you know, you're like, why am I fingering my cousin? He's only 8.
Oh, God,
you know,
dude.
That doesn't just happen. Yeah, I went there.
Oh, man, all right.
But I'm saying it doesn't just happen. You know these feelings. So once you start feeling them,
right.
And I don't go to your parents, don't go to your fucking buddy, don't go to the other creepy guy in the neighborhood who you think might understand because he's probably going to teach you the wrong. Go to a therapist. Go to somebody who is legally not going to run around talking about, yo, guess what this fucking guy does?
That's what people with money do. These people are in trailer parks, dude. There's, I don't know.
Well, no, I'm talking about when you're young. Before these people, once you're in the trailer park.
Some people are born in trailer parks.
Yeah,
you ever watch
point.
This documentary called Melvin, Just Melvin? And you want to...
No.
Like, why don't these little girls, like, go and get help against this horrible stepfather or slash their father, this guy who's just abusing them, and it's they stay quiet, and that becomes normal, and they're so afraid of this guy. There's some weird stuff out there. So, like, you know, it sounds great, but, like, who can afford a therapist? You know, who does these things? There's a lot of fear around it, you know? And all I can do is, like, listen to these individual stories and just, like, you know, I'm not making any broad sweeping claims about anything.
You can find therapists. And you can find, I mean, even if it's like a free one, and then, because what might have happened with this kid was that he's trying to talk to these free therapists who know that they're not equipped to deal with this. Mm. Not a lot of therapists are going to jump in over their head. Most of them get into it to help people, and so they realize that jumping in over their head is going to fucking do more harm than good. Most of them. Not all of them. You know, you can say that about fucking anything from car mechanics to prostitutes. You have mostly good ones, a couple bad ones, a couple doing it for the wrong reason. Okay, let's just fucking move on. Fuck it. We'll talk about prostitutes now.
All right.
There's been some talk about legalizing prostitution in America. What do you think?
It should be legal.
Right? Now, here's the...
There's always going to be that demand for it. Why not make it safe? There's anything that there's, like, a large demand because it's like, well, it makes sense. I mean, maybe not for me, but for somebody else.
Right.
Make it legal and safe.
If you're doing it for the right reasons. Like, if you're just doing it because you like fucking and you're just like, yeah, I like fucking, I want to make money, boom, boom, two birds, one stone. But I think what a lot of people fear is the sex trade.
Yeah.
Slavery. Human trafficking.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you want to work in manufacturing, that's fine. If somebody wants to enslave you in working in manufacturing job, well, that's different.
Right.
Yeah, no, I don't see the problem there as long as it's consensual. Have you ever seen, like, the Bunny Ranch? I've seen documentaries on everything.
I actually just watched a documentary on X-Rated. It was the greatest cinematic porn movies, going back to like Deep Throat, and then like the act when you know when they actually have plots and
Debbie Does and Dallas.
Yeah, one of the greats, Taboo, which made me uncomfortable. Mm. It's about a son and mother having relations.
Whoa, that's weird. Okay,
yeah, and he's like super aggressive with it. Like, it's weird. Like, she seduces him, but then he's just, like, all into it, so then he gets aggressive a lot. And it's a lot of weird lines, like, I'm not that old, you know, and he's looking down her shirt like, oh, yeah, I know. Like,
whoa, unnecessary.
Yeah, but it's like
cringe.
That's like the 70s or something, so that's just kind of like, oh, that's pretty tame. That's pretty tame. That's how people talk to each other.
Yeah, there's another documentary about just, like, the history of sex films. I mean, they call them sex films, but it's, you know, nothing... like what we consider a sex film, like right. porn. It's not like hardcore. It's just kind of like this softcore innuendo. You know, I'm like, wow, this is boring.
Yeah.
So I watched half of that one.
Show some fucking penetration. I'm seeing some balls flying.
Right? Somebody get beat up.
Oh, that would have been a good topic for the bowl. I think I did that before. Was what's your favorite type of porn?
Gay porn. Everybody knows that. Come on.
Really? Like gay? Yeah. Well, like lesbian or gay?
No, two guys, because that's where the hot guys are in gay porn.
That does kind of set an unfair expectation of the male body. And
oh,
I,
Oh.
I'm sorry, but I always like doing that because it's fun for me. Because I'm chubby, so what am I measuring up to?
Yeah, I got a joke like that.
Do you?
Yeah, about man buns and yeah.
Some people can't do it. I would like to say for the record that I do not have a man bun. I've been being accused of that recently. It's not a man bun. I'm not a samurai. I am just super lazy and will put it in like the half a ponytail thing.
I think certain people can pull it off, and I think those are just like people who are overall attractive. Either you're like, oh, this person's attractive, and if they wear their hair like this, oh, they're also attractive. and the reason why I brought that up is because like that's like my joke is this real thing that happened to me is I was defending man buns on my Facebook. I just made a status, and I was like, you know what? I think man buns are fine. And I had a bunch of guys like commenting like, no, they're not. They're horrible. You're stupid. And then so in my defense.
Gotta love the internet for fairness.
Oh, and, yeah, no, for
and,
real.
And level-headedness. Appropriate responses.
Exactly. That was pretty much all of it. And then so in my defense, I started posting pictures of male models with man buns.
I think I saw that something really about, like, off. Unfair expectation or something.
Yeah,
it was all
these,
like, buff-ass, like, half Samoan dudes.
There's some hot guys. There's some, like, models. I don't know. Just
Bobby Lee. You know who Bobby Lee is, right? Comedian, Mad TV, actor.
Yeah.
I was listening to his podcast. Oh, I was listening to his podcast. When my phone broke and I had to get a new one, I lost, like, you know, all the podcasts I used to have, like, saved to follow. So, and he's one of the ones I forgot to get back. Anyway, he was talking about this Asian model that he would totally blow. And, like, he said the name, and I had to. I was at work, so I Googled it, and I was like, God damn, that's a pretty good-looking Asian man. He's, like, 6'2", muscular and shit. Like wow. I mean, I'm not gay or anything, but, I mean, I might jerk him off at least. Like, it's just respect at a certain point.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was a good-looking dude. Yeah.
Beautiful human being.
Like, I'm not going to lie. I'm more than a little obsessed with Channing Tatum.
Hmm.
Not enough to see Magic Mike.
Oh, Magic Mike is great. It's a really funny movie. It's really good. I watch
I'm not
it with
doing
CJ.
It. I'm not. It's not happening.
He understands. Tanning Tatum.
Tanning
Tatum.
Channing Tatum.
I don't know. What is that name even?
It's pure gold. Have you ever seen? excuse me. Have you seen the Channing all over your Tatum video?
No.
Holy shit. You got to look it up. It's
watch
CJ. I think it was like Jimmy Kimmel. It's called Channing All Over Your Tatum, and it's him and it's Jamie Foxx. And it's this power love R&B ballad. I think Olivia Munn's in it. The girl that played Precious is in it. Miley Cyrus shows up.
All-star cast.
Oh, dude, and this is right before Miley went all crazy. Like, she still had that little half a Justin Bieber haircut, but I don't think she had fucked anybody on stage yet, so.
Mm.
Is that in-between, that precious in-between point. But you've seen This Is the End, right?
No.
Oh, you got to see This Is the End with, like, Seth Rogen, Franco, Jay Baruchel, Jonah Hill, Craig Robinson. Like, just basically, like, that whole big group of, like, all the Judd Apatow friends and shit. And there's a scene where, like, Danny McBride at the end, like, has, like, taken over this cannibal tribe. But he walks out of an RV with, like, a human skull head, and he has a dude he's dragging by a leash, and he calls it his gimp, and the dude's in, like, little leather shorts and a luchador mask, and he's talking about how he fucks him, and the dude's, like, dry humping his leg and shit, and he's like, this is my bitch, this is my gimp, this is Channing Tatum, and he lifts up the luchador mask, and it's Channing Tatum, and he's just like, hey, nice. Guys, what's up, what's going on? And I heard an interview where Seth Rogen's like, I emailed him that bit. I put everything I wanted him to do. I didn't want to hide anything. And he immediately sent back, yeah, let's do this.
He seems like so much fun. I love that about him. He's just in like the most ridiculous stuff. And it seems like he doesn't take himself too seriously. I enjoy that.
Which is awesome. Because, I mean, he is like, he is a fucking, 6'3", like chiseled. He's a good looking dude.
Yeah.
And so to be in a movie like you know, when he's in 21 Jump Street, to have the teacher keep being like, oh, you're so hot, and like being all weird about it. Yeah, that shit's going to happen.
I love the 21 Jump Street movies. It was really good.
Oh, it's so good. Mm-hmm. Which one did you, because I honestly, I think the second one was just as fucking good.
It was really meta, poking a lot of fun at itself. And so I think that there was a lot of layered jokes in there. So yeah, the second one was actually, I think, better. Yeah.
Just the part where Jonah Hill fucks Ice Cube's daughter. And Channing Tatum is just dancing around the office. Schmidt, fuck the captain's daughter. He sits down just dying laughing. And he's like, this is... Turns a gun. It's really not that funny. I don't see it the bit.
Yeah, they just seem like really cool people. I want to be their friend.
That's a... Ooh, be careful with that. Oh, sorry. Be careful with that. That might be really gross in your mouth. And
I'm not.
I shouldn't say things like that to you. That was inappropriate, Becca C.
Being weird.
I am being weird.
You're weird.
I'm always a little weird, though, I think we've noticed. It's been fun.
Yeah.
No. All right.
Nah, dog.
All right. Well, why don't we do this? You pick a topic from the bowl. Take a bowl hit or a hit from the bowl, and I will get rid of that to get it freshened up.
All right. I'm going to take my sweet time with this, shuffling them around. They all look really long. Just tell a lot of words on each one. All right, let's see.
I have large writing like a sociopath.
Sociopath.
What is it? You gotta say it.
All right. Did you beat your boyfriend out of rage towards men?
All right.
Whoa, this is very specific.
I thought at this point we would have rehashed the political debate that we had and a little bit more than we have. So that was that would have been funnier in the context of you already explaining that you were upset about the results of the election and whatnot. But we kind of glossed over it, so now it just seems really awkward and out of place, and I wish I'd remembered that it was in there.
You're like, read it out loud.
Yeah. So that's...
Man.
Sorry about that.
Yeah. Oh, okay, well, Trump's America.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what? I'm not sorry. Trump's... No, I'm just kidding. I'm sorry. I was talking about that with my friend Ali last night. He's... He keeps saying he's Persian, and I keep fucking with him. I'm like, bitch, Persia ain't been a country in years. But he's Persian and he's like, he comes from a Muslim background, but it's more by name than by practice at this point. His family is like, just kind of like, no, we like it in America. We're going to do what they do here. And I was fucking with him last night about being Muslim. I'm like, dude, you might as well get to packing, bro. This Trump's America, man. Mm. From now on, anytime anything fucked up happens, you're just going to, that's Trump's America. That's
keep them on edge.
Yeah.
Spanish people are over it. They're kind of like, well, you know.
Dude, a lot of Spanish people voted for him.
Yeah.
Like my, do you know Gio? Giovanni Sabai?
Yeah.
He voted for him.
That doesn't surprise me, I guess. I don't know.
Well,
a lot of people did. No.
He explained it to me like this. He immigrated to this country when he was a teenager. He worked very hard to go through the whole process, you know, do everything legally, stay with family, take the test, become an American citizen. He's worked very hard his whole life. He's, you know, a boss at his job, runs his, you know, his division or whatever. People will constantly come to him like, hey, I got a couple guys. They just got here. He's like at least five or seven times a week, somebody will come up to him and be like, hey, I got a couple guys. Can you give them jobs? Yeah, sure. They don't have any papers.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, no. If you want to go through the process like I had to from the time I was a teenager, like his family, like all three of his brother or two brothers, you know, like family, then, and that's how a lot of...
Well, a lot of people are overstaying their visas, so, right. You know, like the wall thing is ridiculous.
Oh, no, that's
so
fucking insane.
You know, I just don't understand. We had, with Obama, he was always pushing for a path to legalization, and he had DACA, which is deferred... deportation, you know, for young, you know, children of immigrants. But
that's right.
You
do this, right?
Like, well, I worked with a refugee resettlement agency, so I do know. I mean, and I've worked with activists and stuff in the past, and it's kind of in my wheelhouse. But
good, because I don't know shit, so you can inform me. You can really help move this along.
Maybe. But yeah, no, so Obama and what Clinton were floating is this, these Democratic ideas that were getting blocked, right. You know, in large part, but at least DACA had went through. And that was so that there was some paperwork, and everybody's like, oh, who are they? Who are they? It's like, well, you know, you'd have a 17, 16-year-old kid who had been here for their entire lives. Their parents, what they did is they either immigrated and started working like, you know, some of these people doing hard labor jobs, you know, picking fruit and, you know, right. working in manufacturing plants and stuff. And so, you know, just to put the support their families and to put their kids through. So their kids didn't have documentation. Well, DACA changed that. And so, you know, they would be allowed to stay here and continue their education. And so their parents are paying tax, or they're paying taxes on goods and things. They are contributing to the economy. Right. Problem is that there's not a path for them. The legalization of that aspect is largely closed, and it's not a great system. So a lot of the times what people do nowadays is that they overstay their visas. So they get over here on a work visa, and then they just stay. So they come here legally, but then the door shuts on them, but they're like, my life is here, and right. then they stay. So that's why the wall thing is so ridiculous, because that wall would be billions of dollars to build, and it's right. unfathomable, the scale of it almost. And then to maintain it would cost... Yeah. as much, if not more, than our wars currently. It's an astronomical amount of money. Anyway, but people come over here on planes. That's right. the other thing, is that, you know, we have immigrants coming here on planes. So
tunnels are how right. a lot of them do it, because that's how the cartels used to get drugs over. Like, you know people that do really good things. I know people that used to sneak in the tunnels. So we, like, I right. know the tunnels are there. The wall, right. and now he's saying part of it will be a fence. None of yeah, that's
so
going to do shit.
How can you support that? You know,
oh, absolutely not.
So if you did... I guess, like, I try to follow immigration policy, and I try to follow what the reforms are, because I think that our best right. chance is reform. I don't think that that's the proper person, you know, just in my opinion. I just don't think that he's the one to get the things done, if that's what you would like to see, if you'd like to see a path to citizenship.
And this is going to sound so fucking ridiculous, but just bear with me.
Uh-oh.
I think, and again, this is just an opinion. This is just kind of about Trump in general. When he would say shit like, we're going to build a wall, it just got 10 feet higher. Mexico's going to pay for it. Yeah, it's all bullshit. And I think, because he's a fucking showman, first and foremost, with The Apprentice, because I'm a big, you know, yeah. WWE, I'm a wrestling fan.
He was on WWE.
Yeah, several times. He's friends with Vince McMahon. I remember watching the storyline where he picked Bobby Lashley to defend his hair against Umaga, who was defending Vince McMahon's hair, and Bobby Lashley speared Umaga through the fucking cage. It was epic. Bobby was kind of stiff in the ring, but he was a beast physically. Anyway, I watch wrestling.
Yeah, yeah,
He's a showman first and foremost.
Right. Yeah.
I think that he very well knew that saying shit like that, people that are halfway intelligent that were supporting him for various other reasons, they're just laughing. They're like, oh, Jesus Christ, he's not going to try to build a wall, but he'll try to at least do some sort of good with it. He's thinking that...
He doesn't know what he's going to do. He doesn't know anything. I look at him when he met with Obama, like, right after the elections, and he looked so frightened.
Did you see the look on Obama's face?
He was so subdued. I love what is the overlay, the music that they always play?
Larry David. Boom.
Yeah, it's perfect. It's perfect. Oh, you saw the John.
Yeah,
right? because it's. I think Trump had a lot of fun running,
right?
You know, and he did a really good job of winning. But now that he has it, I don't think he's ready at all. Like, you know, the people in his cabinet. Have you ever heard? Did you see what? Was it?
John Oliver.
Who is it that's an Uber driver around here? Is it
Javier?
Is it Javier?
Yeah, no. He drives Uber, I think.
Did he post that status about, like, driving around people in the Republican convention and just how they were talking about, like, nobody's ready for this? I thought that was really funny.
I think that was him. It might have been. I don't know. I smoke. Come on.
Or
don't
it could have been Jay. I think it was Jay. Javier
Rivera. Jay Rivera.
Yeah. Right.
So
exactly.
We were talking about
We're talking about the same person. Yeah, Jay. You know, Facebook. Yeah, so Javier, yeah. Jay Rivera.
Yeah, you do.
Right?
I
remember seeing him, or I believe it was him, posting if he's an Uber driver. About how the people are, like, in that convention, not ready. They're like, who are we even going to have? And you see that scramble now. It's like, oh wait, he actually won. We've all hated him this whole time. Oh, no, you know. And What is it, Chris Christie and all them coming out with their dicks hard, just like, oh, where can I get in? Mm-hmm.
Well, like, and one of my favorites was that during the John Oliver thing when he showed the picture of, or played the clip of Ted Cruz calling people to be like, hey, this is Ted Cruz. I just want to make sure that, you know, you're going to go out and support Donald Trump. He's like, you know, the guy that insulted my wife and called me a lizard.
He's a troll. He is a troll.
We'll see. All right. So to your point.
Absolute.
To your point where you said, like, he didn't think he was going to win. Mm. Like, all right, so, and I said this, oh, my God, I wish that I had the ability, the know-how, or the ambition to go back to my old podcast and get the clips out. Because I literally said before the primaries, if Hillary wins, she will not beat Trump. She doesn't have the appeal. And just to mention the sexist people that would be like, I don't know if I'm going to vote Democrat, Republican. That would be like, ain't voting for a woman.
Yeah.
Like, they'll come out the woodwork. And I was right and I was wrong. I was right in the fact that, you know, like I said, she didn't win. I was wrong for the reasons. I thought it would be her, the way she came across, the way she spoke. I thought he would just beat her in debates. And to her credit, no. She, like, really, because I was going off of how she looked against Obama 8 years ago. And Obama made her look like a pile of hot, wet shit, dude. I'm sorry.
Yeah, he's way more charismatic. And like, she does not have a charisma.
And when he just started hammering her, the way she would look at him, like, it made it even worse for her. Because, like, she was being pretty cool about it. But you could see in her eyes where she just wanted to. It almost looked like she wanted to drop the N-bomb. Like, nigga. But. So
she's very uptight, you can tell.
Yeah, but she seemed to do really good in the debates. And I honestly, I didn't see it coming. And then when I thought about it, yeah, I was still the reason that she lost. And I honestly believe, I thought he believed it was going to be him versus Bernie. Because during the Republican primary, he wasn't out debating people. He was doing what he does. He was trolling. He was beating people by the trolls. So it was obvious he was getting that vote. If you actually watched supporters, saw the film of Bernie selling out stadiums and Hillary's trying to jam 50 people in, and then so all right, some people weren't really behind her, but then when it became obvious when the emails got leaked that the DNC colluded against, so it's like it was kind of obvious that you shoved somebody down that didn't have the full support of the party. And then when it was proof,
that was felt.
And then when it was proof that you did that, that's why there was a 46% no turnout. That's why the Obama coalition didn't turn out, because those people were just like, why should we vote for you? Why should we even help at all? If you don't, obviously you don't give a shit about what we want, you're supposed to represent us, and you're not doing that.
That's the squabble that put Trump into power, though. It's
very unfortunate, but I think that the DNC did it to the DNC.
It's just going to be weird. You know, all that is water in the bridge now, and it's interesting to analyze it and to see what really happened and like who was ignored. I think there was a lot of people who felt ignored by the Democratic party.
The Hispanic community,
like, Hillary said nothing about those particular communities. Where was she on like Black Lives Matter, you know, and some of these key issues? It was more just like, look at this crazy lunatic, and then he's doing the same thing, but people listen to him because he was more charismatic.
Joe Rogan made that point. Did you listen to the End of the World podcast? It was Joe Rogan, Bill Burr, Doug Stanhope, Tony Hinchcliffe stopped in. I think Bert Kreischer was there for the whole thing. Fitzgerald was there for a little bit. Jim Jeffries stopped on for like 10 seconds. I cannot remember their names. Two very funny female comedians that are friends with Rogan and Stanhope and all them, and I cannot for the life remember their names right now. Shit. Anyway, but they all did it was pretty much like a commentary on the election. Like, they sat there at the store, they had a crowd in there, and they just podcasted during the election, and Bill Burr was reading the results like it was a fucking football game. Oh, coming back, she just took Ohio. Like, just, nice. But then it was just like, oh, he's putting distance between them, and he took, and it was hilarious. But Rogan's like, if he wins, it's our fault, because all we've done this whole election is say the name Trump, whether it was good or bad. Like, he had that Twitter beef with Jon Stewart at, like, what was that, 1 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning?
Oh, that's a really funny breakdown. His last thing is just like, you're a bitch at, like, 3 a.m. or something. Yeah, pussy.
Jon Stewart's a pussy.
God, yeah.
Which, so, if you guys... Yeah. If you guys don't know about that, just YouTube. It's Jon Stewart, Trump tweets, pussy. And it's just Jon Stewart telling the story. It touches my heart.
It's beautiful.
But again, his name.
Right. Okay. So you have this troll who loved the idea of running and has no business winning.
None.
You know, and because everybody else was just squabbling. And I get it. You know, I think that I think that everybody gets what happened now, but it's going to be a weird 4 years going forward. We're in for some weirdness now.
I also said this before, and I can't remember who was on the podcast when I first said it, but the look they gave me, I have a feeling, is going to be similar to the look I'm about to get from you.
Oh, jeez.
I know. This may be the best possible outcome that we could have had for the country. Let me explain. I know.
I mean, if you're like a white supremacist, you're doing really well right now. Breitbart.
I know. Bear with me just a second, okay? So generally, the upper echelon, the tippy top, the one percenters, the cabal, the Illuminati, whatever you want to call them, okay, the people that no matter who gets elected president, no matter what happens, they're going to make their $200 million a month, whatever, a year. You know what I'm saying? The ones that don't, I don't believe that there's an organization that controls the world, but I believe that with enough money.
There's a couple of them.
I believe with enough money, you can definitely try to influence it. And I think that these people do have that. And they don't care because it never affects them. They always get theirs. This is so fucking ridiculous. This is so fucking beyond reality and beyond belief that this outcome happened.
Yeah.
That they now have to go, what the fuck have we let happen? And now real changes that will actually benefit the country as a whole will have to be implemented to stop something this ridiculous from happening again. It's just whether or not, how bad does he do these next, and you know what? I honestly hope he does amazing. I hope
you're
he
making
turns
it sound
out to be
like
reasonable.
He has some sort of experience doing this. I understand he's been running businesses.
That's why they have to change it.
Who is he going to appoint to the Supreme Court justices? We have one up for grabs right now. How many are up for grabs in the future? We got three of them in their 80s?
I want to say like four total over the next two or three years, four
Ginsburg,
seats.
But come on, you know, they're in their 80s.
Oh, yeah.
And so that, his presidency over the next 4 years could shape that dramatically. All this wonderful idealistic change. You really think that this guy who doesn't know what the shit he's doing is going to be able to do it? He has Pence
as his
VP. No, I'm just saying, like, look who he's going to surround himself with. That's what's going to tell us. So we have, is it Bannon? The Breitbart?
Steve Bannon,
the Breitbart
former,
guy?
Yeah.
A piece of shit. What does he want? What kind of change does he want for the country? Oh yeah, we're so corrupted. Let's make sure that we punish women for abortions and take away rights of people. And no more gay marriage.
I'm not saying
that
change is coming during. No. What I mean by best thing for the country is not during his presidency. We have to make it out of these next 4 years.
And so does the world, because there's a lot of important, like, environmental protections going on. Like France, their president, I want to say, I was just listening to this on NPR, one of their most notable pieces of legislation was this climate reform. So it was big that America signed onto it, but there's no way that Trump is going to be on board with that. He's against these regulations and stuff. So that's going to have a ripple effect
for their government as well. With the environment, the government can put in or take off as many regulations as they want. What the environment comes down to is people. Because if they take the regulations off of the companies and the companies start doing fucking whatever to pollute, it's up to people to not support those companies.
Okay, yeah. No, but people are dumb shits and they don't know when a hole is going to open up in the ground like, Mosaic did? No, so you have the EPA to regulate businesses because you should have scientists on the side of the public to know what's going on. When is groundwater being polluted? When is Flint happening? So what Trump's administration wants to do is they want to put in somebody in charge of the EPA who doesn't believe in global warming. So if that's going to be our government scientist, you talk about these companies are definitely helped out by those kind of policies of the people who also deny these things. They pay scientists to have these wonderful conclusions that support them. You know, there's a lot of reading on that weird manipulation of facts and science.
Well,
and
you
data.
Can get that on both sides of it. You know, you get it's called the IamRight.com. Like
I'm talking about paid scientists trying to reach conclusions. You know, this goes beyond I think what research is supposed to do and the ethics of doing research, you know, so you start having things aimed at the benefits of the company, and that screws people over. So you might have a Flint water tester go in who's paid by the, I don't know, whatever company is behind this. What is it, like Nestle? Or Nestle?
Nestle.
Is it? I'm throwing that out there. I know Nestle does some horrible shit.
Well, it was their old water pipes. Nobody fucking regulating that. Nobody going in and fixing and shit. And there's nobody that's like... I mean, well, there are people that are...
So the inspector comes in, he's paid off by them. He has the person who's in head of the EPA says, oh, no, no, you paid me this week. So, you know, you're good to go. Water pipes bust. People, their families are becoming, you know...
There's no... toxins. If it's not a affluent neighborhood, then there's no reason in their minds to do the extra legwork that it's going to take to make sure things are done right.
So we're all just a bunch of consumers, and are we getting enough money from these people? It's a shift in ideology, and I think it's very dangerous.
It's a caste system that's been in place, because it doesn't happen in neighborhoods that are affluent. And I'm not saying black, white, yellow, or brown. I'm just talking about neighborhoods with money, because there are black neighborhoods with money that don't deal with shit like this.
So screw them?
No, I'm not saying that.
All right, I see why you voted for Gary Johnson, guys. All right, I understand this now. All right. So,
no, I'm not saying screw him. I'm not saying it's right. I'm not sure. I didn't think I said that I said it was right, but I am high.
I think so you're just saying that, that's just human nature. And I'm like, well,
no,
I
it's not human nature.
That.
It's the. It'd be great to be above that. That's why I said that it's up to people to not go to the companies that do shit like this. People have to take responsibility.
Okay.
That's just that's the way it's happening. That's not the way it should be.
Would you boycott or would you turn up your nose if everybody was boycotting Hershey's chocolate bars? Because Hershey's chocolate bars were damaging a neighborhood. Sriracha, actually, was damaging a neighborhood with the fumes of chilies. Would you boycott that? So that's you as a citizen and as a consumer, you would say no to Sriracha, and that would make them change their ways. Do you really think that that's the kind of regulation that would...
If I do it?
Uh-huh.
No. If me and all my friends do it, no.
But would you participate?
Would you have that thought process
of... this is my vote. Every time I buy Sriracha, I don't have that view of people. Generally.
That's why I don't talk about this a lot, because I don't do it as a to be carrying around my banner. I do it to make myself feel like I'm doing something. But I don't go to Walmart anymore. It's something small. It's something stupid. But it's an evil corporation. The way they treat their workers, the way they treat the environments, towns they move into. So. I don't, you know, post about it on Facebook. I don't follow a bunch of groups. I don't wave a sign around, but I don't shop at Walmart. Nobody at Walmart's going, huh, how come we're not selling a fucking bottle of Jerry Curl a month like we used to over in fucking Clearwater, Florida? Yeah, it's Jerry Curl juice. Whatever. My hair's luxurious. I'll admit it. But it doesn't matter. I don't do it for Walmart to fucking feel the pain of my single patronage.
You just don't want to contribute to that. And I get
that.
And
it makes
that.
Me feel
I'm
better.
I'm just saying that there needs to be more than just, you know, we're not going to buy from you, Nestle, because you're screwing over Flint. I don't think that it has it in theory has a lot of power to do that. I mean, Marxism, you know.
Money and legal loopholes allows them to do the things that they do. So the only way that we as a... Because no matter what kind of laws that get put in place, there are always loopholes. They always have the money
to
do it.
I mean, that's a dim view to say that, like, well, we can't even do anything. There's a lot of laws.
We can try.
Let's not even try. Nope. Gays don't get married. They're going to find loopholes. Nope. Nobody...
I'm not talking about gay marriage.
I'm talking about
corporations.
Well, I mean,
that's a completely different jump to make.
Well, it's kind of making fun of like the system of reforming laws that are broken. So I think that that's just what we do, and I would like to see that continue. I'd like to see. Have you ever read Upton Sinclair's The Jungle? I think we already went through this. We saw untamed production. We saw capitalism when it was not regulated. You know, it was the meat industry, and it was just grotesque, and the way that they treated their labor. We've had a lot of hard-fought battles for the rights of workers and the rights of, you know, the consumers. Consumer rights are actually definitely being attacked because you have all these other things that... The companies want. The companies want you to believe a certain thing, and
right.
then we don't even have regulations on a lot of the products There's already a lot of pushback on that as it is. So I think lessening that anymore is just kind of scary. And, you know, nobody's even holding companies accountable for the things that they're doing as is.
I'm not saying to loosen those up.
Okay.
You can have more than one thing. You can still continue to press laws and continue to try to reform. And at the same time, do it on a human level. You can do more than one thing at a time.
I commend you for the Walmart multitask thing.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So, like, you can go ahead and push for all the reform you want, and reform can get made. The point I was trying to make when I said it's with the legal loopholes is reforms get made. Like, the laws today are astronomically different than 20 years ago, than 20 years before that, so forth and so on. And yet these companies are still doing that. They'll get derailed a little bit. They'll struggle for a little bit. But they will have lawyers with no morals, and, you know, willing to just go deep pockets, and fucking they will search for a loophole. They'll find it. They'll do what they were doing before again. More reforms. Like, that will always cycle through. So that helps. That's great. Let's not stop doing that. Let's keep doing that. Let's keep making them shuffle. But at the same time, let's take some responsibility as humans and as people and start affecting change at your level. At the whatever level you can. It may sound cliche as fuck, but Gandhi said it. Be the change you want to see in the world. Maybe just because I'm smoking so much more weed or doing yoga, but I've gotten super hippie lately, and it's kind of irritating me.
I like this. I'll get you some crystals.
Let's not go that far. Let's peel it the fuck back a little bit.
Get you some candles. This place could use some candles. Mm. That's what I'm talking about.
Not my place.
I didn't think so.
Oh, shit. This is Will's. Yeah.
Will's. Okay, right.
Yeah,
right.
I'm actually in Clearwater. Jesus Christ. I just went on my little rant, and I'm dying here.
Rest in peace.
Crystals, though.
I'm just messing with you, man.
I do want to do sensory deprivation tank.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
And unfortunately, the only place I can find in the area is at a place that does crystals and shit. So it's like,
I got myself a prayer mat recently. Because I just love to, like, I don't know. It's just like, it's a joke. Like, it's just a running joke for myself. And I'm like, oh, look, a crystal. But it's like the satanic mat. And I put it up on my wall. And it's fantastic. It has like these... four guys with like flowing hair, and it's like purple, and they have like shallots and swords and different things, and then like there's like a pentagram,
right?
Like a large pentagram. So I'm becoming spiritual, and I've got my Snoop Dogg candle next to it. I was praying to Snoop. I was trying during the election on that fateful night, and he let me down.
Everybody was let down.
Satan let me down.
Here's something that I find absolutely hysterical and might actually sway, because right now I'm not really religious. Like, I have a little bit of spirituality, I like to say, to be douchey about it. to go with this new hairstyle, the douche, I call it.
Yeah.
I'm fully aware of what it is. But the Satanic Bible is the only religious document that not only holds respect for women, but actually in a lot of passages has them held in a higher regard and at a higher respect than men, and are to be more worshipped. Every other religious document, just about, like, I think, you know, like Buddhist and Zen are more even playing field, but, you know, Muslim, you know, the Old Testament, the New Testament.
Well, those are all Abrahamic. So,
right, but they're
Abrahamic religions, even, they're all about the same.
Even the new, like Mormon and Dutch Amish, any or Amish at all, like whatever they're, god damn it, what is the word I'm thinking of? It's not sect, but specialty. Okay. They're God specialty. I'm not saying with the words
they,
I want.
They specialize.
They specialize in a different, but anyway, like, they all, you know, women are pretty much property to men. Uh-huh. Nah, not the Satanic Bible. Satanic Bible's like, we're either equal or the chick's better. So suck on that, conventionalists.
Hail Satan is what we're trying to say.
Yeah, if you respect women, you'll worship Satan.
Yeah.
Like, that's it, bro. So that's how you know that Trump's not, Satan respects women more than Trump. Holy fuck. That's great.
True. Yeah, so vote Satan.
Vote Satan.
2020.
2020. What I'm really terrified about, I got to be honest, what I'm really terrified about is Kanye 2020.
Oh, yeah, now that we have a reality show star in the White House, President Camacho, when is that going to happen? Have you seen Idiocracy?
Idiocracy is great.
Oh, such a good movie.
So good, but it's just... That's why I say if we don't survive the next 4 years, if it's not the best thing for our country, then we might be like the really old people in Idiocracy. Like, off in a corner telling people, like, and back in the day, children, they had books. And books had information, and somebody would walk by, like, fag knows how to read, kick him in the nuts.
You went to school for free.
Yeah.
Everybody, in fact, you had to. You had to go to school. They called it attendance.
Yeah, the only, and they taught you more than plants crave electrolytes.
Right. It's got what plants crave.
But why do they crave it? Because they're plants.
They're plants. I love that circular reasoning.
Oh, I know, dude. It was so...
So the anti-intellectual raid, I think, is what scares me the most. And that's just like, facts don't matter, you know?
Well, that's kind of been
think
like this
how
whole...
you feel. And
that's kind of been this whole fucking election.
I know, it has been. And it's
both
pretty
sides.
Scary. Well,
both,
no,
both ways.
I've been looking at the fact checkers and, you know, even like during the debates, mm-hmm. I think. So the people who weren't fact checking... You know, we're kind of more or less on one side because there was a lot of BS just spewed from Trump.
Yeah.
And it was blatant and irresponsible and insane. And so
it was
mom,
him
my mom
telling
is a
you
Trump
he
supporter.
Didn't say things that he's on video
an hour
saying.
Later, an hour later.
I didn't say that. No, you literally just said that, bro.
So you live in your own reality, in your own bubble. And I understand that, like, the left did this, too, because that's why they thought Clinton was going to win. Everybody was like, everything is fine. We all think that he's crazy, right? We all think he's crazy. Echo, 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 echo. You know, sharing the same kind of articles.
I don't even like her, and I liked that. I thought that. I was...
I mean, it always happens. You pick your side, man. And you like hearing things that agree with you. It's just human nature. And then... But it's definitely divided us more than it ever has. I was listening to something on the radio that was talking about how our system was probably not designed to have this long, sustained political banter.
Mm-hmm.
We've had it for 2 years now. It's been, you know, who's going to become the next president? And we've been debating it and talking about it and arguing about it more mm-hmm. and more. And you know, the elections were just something that happened every 4 years. And then you go out and it's your civic duty and you vote. You don't really talk about it too much. Not to say that like talking about it is bad. I think that this discourse around these big ideas and these topics are is a good thing. But it is kind of weird that we are at each other for 2 years straight during this whole election cycle. And then, I don't know,
well,
it definitely opposes us.
I got to admit that I... had been one of those people because I'd never really got affected. Like, my life was never really encumbered that much by whatever political system. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just not at an income level high or too low where it's like, I'm going to be affected. Hmm. I never paid attention. I was just like, fuck it. It's always stupid. Like, you know, there's no point. Like, I was one of those people. And then, like, I paid a little bit of attention to Obama just because I was like, well, this is pretty cool. Like, here's a black dude from Chicago. I'm a black dude from Wisconsin. Like, where I'm at the time, I was kind of skinny, had similar haircut. People be like, you kind of look like a young Obama. I was like, yeah, that's right, bitch. You know, now I look like Obama if he just stopped running. Like, this is what Obama's going to look like in like 10 years when all the stress just finally leaves and he just starts eating right.
Right.
And then this year was the year that I really, like, I read articles and I looked at, yeah, I went to CNN, but I also went to Fox News, and I went to HuffPost, and I went to fucking, and then I'd go on Snopes. Like, for a while, I had a Snopes app on my phone until it just got me depressed.
You have to do the research. You have to be responsible for these beliefs that you have, and I think that not everybody has that kind of research attitude towards it, and that's what's scary. My mom, for one, she listens to just Fox News, and no matter what I say, it's always going to be wrong because it's almost like her Bible.
Right.
Of information, and it's a different reality that exists, you know, aside from fact checkers and
people pick their sides,
sources.
They pick
no
their team.
Well,
and
I always
they
want source
out.
Information, and I don't think that that's been as prevalent in this
it doesn't. Well,
discussion.
No, they just talked about it. Fake news sites have been like, there are a bunch of them that intentionally
sides, right?
do it. And they don't, I mean, like satirical sites, like, you know, Above Average, I think Above Average, is that the one I'm thinking of? That does like satirical, I want to say, The Onion, obviously, The Onion,
right.
The most famous one, which I'm like 99% sure is headquartered in Wisconsin. And no, because one of my friends used to deliver for a deli he worked at. And he was, it was downtown Madison by the UW campus and shit. And when he went up, like, he went up to these offices, he walked by a door that there was no writing on it, no numbers or nothing. It just had the symbol for the onion.
Hmm.
And it was, like, that color. And it was, like, a Sunday, so there's nobody in the offices. And he said that, like, he kind of looked around, like, what he could without, you know, being obvious, because he's in a, you know, expensive building by the UW. And he said, like, there was a couple doors right by it that just had that symbol, but no writing, no nothing. Because at the time, they never accepted submissions. Like, this was back in 2002. Like, I think they just started taking submissions within the last few years. But, yeah, so pretty sure they're headquartered there. But anyway, there are so many fake news sites that are intentionally putting out fake news. And unfortunately, once something gets out, it's... You can put out the, like, I always try, if I see somebody posting a bullshit article, I always immediately try to say, hey, this isn't right, and, like, tag them in a post, like, about, like, hey, here's the article, right. You know. And it doesn't always matter, because the one that they shared that was false will probably get 150 more shares. The one saying it's false will get 5 more shares.
Well, because people tend to only accept information that agrees with something that they've, like, the opinion that they already hold. And mm-hmm. this is very dangerous. And so you're going to throw out information that is contrary to that.
Right.
And just keep holding that same opinion that you have.
Well, like you said, it's that echo chamber.
Right, right.
It's unfortunate, though, people love the fucking echo chamber.
They do. But then when they're confronted with somebody who just doesn't agree with them. Okay, so I had to block 2 girls from my old community college because they were just attacking my posts and like hitting me in my inbox. And this one of the girls, it's interesting because they're both immigrants to this country.
Right.
Very smart, very beautiful girls. I say girls, they're women. They're older than me. But
you get that number? No.
Yeah, right. They're both married to doctors, so they have very conservative ideals, and yeah. It's very interesting. The one lady, she's from China, and I think 2 years ago, I had this really long and annoying conversation with her about she thinks that liberals are trying to bring us into communism. And I'm like, well, mm-hmm. I very much disagree with you. Socialism and communism are two different things. Socialism is a well-established backbone in this country. You know, if you like FDR's New Deal and, you know, our infrastructure and everything, blah, blah, blah. You know, it just shuts right. down because she's so afraid of communism. And so these ideas of hers are like in the forefront. They are just like chiseled in and nothing can touch it. So she's just like yelling at me in all caps. So this is, I'm pretty sure this was like on somebody's comment thread, or this was either in my inbox, you know, one of those kind of things. I'm just like, okay, well, it's been a day and a half. I think that we should just leave this alone. Right. You know, one of those kind of things. You're just getting notifications like they responded and it's a paragraph. So that was like 2 years ago. And so I was already prepared, when I got into an argument with, this girl, she's Italian and she's, I think she was like a model for a bit, and now she's married to a doctor. She's a very smart woman. Anyway, she's a Trump supporter, and she had made a comment on something that I had posted, just railing me for my ideas against Trump. And so I try to have a conversation with her, and it doesn't really work out so well. You know, she's very angry at me. And after a while, I just start just deleting comments off. And I'm like, all right, I don't need this in my life.
Right.
You know, because it wasn't a discussion. It wasn't a back and forth. Like, okay, well, you know, this is what backs up my beliefs. And I will link sources. I'll say, like, you know, I'll say a little bit of, like, this is what I believe, and here's a source for it. Let's have a discussion. There wasn't any of that. It was just like, you're wrong. Stupid, you know. And I'm like, oh, okay, understood.
I got really lucky in that most of my friends, we all had the understanding. Because, like I said, I hated both of them. Like, I didn't like either one of them. So, basically...
Sitting pretty on the edge of the fence.
No, I was in a yard. I was in, you know, it was the tiny little yard that, you know, kind of was unkept and everybody ignored. But I was in my yard, okay? Whatever. You know what?
What's Aleppo?
I voted my heart, my conscience. Yeah. Or I would have if I could. I'm a felon, but thanks for making me bring that up.
Ew.
I couldn't remember if I had said that on the podcast before, yeah, so probably. I was like, yeah, I definitely have. But no, we just, you know what, I talked about what I wanted to talk about. I you know, I didn't make, you know, super insane comments on any, like, I never really commented on any. If any, I saw somebody that had a way different opinion, like some of yours way pushing on Hillary. I have other friends that were all about Trump. The only person I commented on was Betty Jo Bunker because I was like, fuck.
Oh, she's fun.
Yeah.
Comedian for Trump.
It was hilarious that there's a couple times where I commented on it. It's like, you know, asking for the validity of the post or whatever, like questioning her point, her status on it. And I wouldn't get no response for a while. And I'd be like, I wonder if she deleted that. And I'd go to her page and she wouldn't have deleted it, but she will have shared it
yes.
like 30 minutes later again and then started commenting on that one. So like yes. just ignoring me calling her out and just letting that one die off and starting a whole new one, but still leaving it out there. I was like,
she doesn't know how to do social media that well. Like, I don't know if like she knows all. How to delete, but yeah. It is really funny to see her share her own post a few times and comment yeah. on it. And it's just like, oh, wow, you definitely have to be hidden yeah. from my newsfeed forever.
yeah. Look. Blah, blah, blah. Let me try that again.
Unsubscribe.
Luckily, though, like I said, I was fortunate where me and most of my friends, if we had too far off, we kind of left each other alone and we were respectful. Yeah.
yeah.
Okay. So fuck, I got to wrap this up.
All right.
I got this gig at the Improv. But
sweet.
Did I have to remember to tell you about a Netflix pearl?
For this week. Well, I'm pretty sure it was Pervert in the Park, but Pervert Park.
Pervert Park. Well, I was going to say, because I think I forgot to tell you, so we can use that for you if you want.
Oh, man. That's a good one.
That's my fault. Yeah, so check it out, the documentary Pervert Park, because it does kind of sound interesting, and I probably will check it out. I just, like I said, watch X-Rated if you like all that stuff. It talks about the cinematic, but it goes through, like, the top however many. And it talks about how, like, you know, the industry kind of changed and how it used to be, like, president's wives going to see. Like, do you know that Jackie O was in line to see Deep Throat? Johnny Carson went and saw, I think it was Debbie Does Dallas. Johnny Carson was, like, because they used to, like, show these in regular movie theaters.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it was just, like, an okay, like, oh, don't go to this movie with your kids. Go to that one, like, two doors over.
Yeah, so what Pee Wee Herman was up to, like, that was probably normal.
Well, sorry, that was inappropriate. Sorry, Mamaholics, that was inappropriate. Well, mine this week is going to be Danger 5. A friend of mine from the Orlando scene told me about it. And she's like, it's on Netflix. It's a TV series. I think there's only, like, I don't know, there's like 15, 16 episodes. It's really fucking strange. It's basically like a 50s or 60s, it looks like, because they got planes and anyway, it's the spy group. Like, one of the chicks, like Ilsa, she hardly ever speaks English. And then there's like a British guy and an American guy and like a Spanish guy and then like a blonde girl, of course. And their boss is a guy with an eagle head who speaks in a very American way of speaking. And their mission is always, and as always, kill Hitler. Oh, because Hitler's still alive.
Yes. I've seen some of this. CJ yeah. loves it. And I'm like,
it's
I don't
so
know if this
weird.
Is my thing. It is really weird.
It's one of those, like, if you've
like
ever
weird.
Seen any of, the, like, the Adult Swim shows, like
no,
the
I love
Aqua Teen or Sea Lab.
No,
or,
yes. Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I really do. That's, like, slapstickier. Than I'm used to. I love, even though I don't know what the hell Tim and Eric is, but I love Tim and Eric. We're watching a lot of Andre.
Yeah.
Eric Andre show.
I've only seen a couple. Those are a little
Andre.
Bit more Eric Andre. Yeah, those are a little bit outside of mine. But Danger 5, like I said, I watched the first couple, and it was just like, all right. But that's got to be like, my daughter was there, so I didn't want to get like too stoned.
Yeah,
but
right. It's Australian, right?
Is it?
Something like that.
It might be.
I don't know.
I didn't. I thought it was maybe BBC, but like a couple of the guys are American, so I didn't know. But yeah, it's just, it's really fucking weird. So check it out, Mamaholics. It's definitely worth a look. Becca, thank you. I'm sorry we had to cut this short.
Traffic,
Yeah, traffic.
I planned to be here. I was driving for 2 hours.
Ouch. Oh yeah, you got to come in from Tampa. Yeah, I think
yeah.
I just got. I think one of the accidents, because I was listening on the radio, and one of them happened behind me. So I only had to deal with, like, the last accident that by the time you got to it is probably already gone. Because I saw the wrecker taking the car away when I pulled up. So I think there's one car left waiting.
Okay. It was just, like, congestion for no reason.
We'll get you back on here again. I think it's fun because we definitely have – we have differing, but, like, we have similar endpoints, but we get there different ways, I think, on a lot of shit. And I think that's interesting to work that dynamic out.
No echo here.
No. No, a lot of throwing rocks at each other. No echo chamber. I don't know. Anyway, What you got? You got any dates coming up? Anything you want to promote real quick? You want to plug?
Red Star Rock Bar. That is a open mic that I co-host with CJ Hernandez. That's in Seminole Heights, and that's at 8 p.m. Or if you want to sign up for the open mic, it's at 7:30 p.m. The next one that we're having is December the 8th. It'll be on a Thursday. And, yeah, that's every other Thursday is what we typically do, the second and fourth Thursday of every month. As far as dates go, I don't know. I'm available. You can book me, BeccaChiles.com. Put me on your show.
Bring her in, folks. She speaks from the heart. I don't think I have any dates coming up. I'm actually not. But I mean, I have things coming up, but it's like last second stuff that this won't come out till next week, so they won't be able to catch it. So sorry, guys. If you get a time machine, come to Snappers this weekend, and I'll be hosting on Saturday. Or come to Improv on Thursday night. I'm doing a set there. So, yeah, other than that, guys, just continue to listen to my mom's favorite podcast. Like my mom's favorite podcast page on Facebook. As always, I'm James Bailey. Oh, yeah, what's your social media again? Did you say them?
Oh, on Twitter, it's BECX2X. I have a website now, BeccaChiles.com. You can see my stuff on there.
BECCA, right, Becca?
Mm-hmm. BECCA, Child, CHILDS.
Wow.
Yep. Yep, so contact me, put me on your show, or, yeah, come see our open mic.
She's a funny lady who says funny things. I'm James Bailey, haha, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Hit me up, and as always, call your mother. She worries, she misses you. I'm so hood.